During Advent, we especially pay attention to how all the stories in the Bible point to Jesus, our Savior. And this wonderful story of God's provision in the desert, in the midst of Israel's wilderness wanderings, is no different in also pointing to Jesus. Today I will be reading from Exodus 16. It's a long chapter, so I'll be skipping a few verses. I think all the right verses are on the screen. If you want to hold your Bibles open, you'll probably be able to follow along too. Let us hear about bread from heaven, from Exodus 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him." And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp, and when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost appeared on the ground, on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." And everyone gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and while the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. And so they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's only been a month or so since God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, where they had been slaves. Life there had been hard, and they had complained, and the Lord delivered them, and now they are free, and we expect them to still be dancing and singing and giving thanks. But no, they are like children behaving badly. Do they remind you a little of a 2-year-old temper tantrum? Out in the wilderness, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. That word for grumbled is repeated 7 times in 5 verses. They grumble and complain. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us all this way only to starve us. They're grumbling against Moses and Aaron for bringing them out there. But really, their complaint is against God, isn't it? It is God who delivered them, and now they are repudiating that deliverance. Yet God continues to be a loving Father, compassionate and patient, treating them better than they deserve, like beloved children who just need a little food. Instead of sending them back to Egypt per their request, God responds with a quick and gracious gift. He promises meat and bread, basic provisions that will sustain them. And then God shows them the glory of the Lord. They just need to look out to the desert, and the Lord's glory appeared in that cloud. God has not left them. In the pillar of cloud and fire, they can see that God continues to be right there with them in the wilderness. The light shines even in the darkness. So God sends quail for meat at night, and in the morning, flakes of food on the ground. When the people see the flakes, they say, "Manna? What's this?" Manna sounds like the Hebrew for, "What is this?" And Moses tells them, "It's the bread the Lord has given you." In this wonderful provision, God also tests his people. He's given simple instructions about how to collect and share the bread from heaven. Every day they're to gather just enough manna for that day. If they take more, it will rot. On the 6th day, they gather twice as much as on other days, and it will last for the Sabbath. These very simple instructions have a profound purpose. Are the people willing to obey and trust in God? They had to learn to gather each day just what they needed. If they tried to hoard the manna, it would stink. If they didn't follow God's commands to prepare for the Sabbath, they would go hungry. And as they learned to follow the rules, they learned to trust God and God's provision. God's provision here goes beyond the gift of daily food. God also provides a day for them to rest. Just as God rested after the 6 days of creation, God builds a Sabbath rest into the rhythm of their lives as a provision for renewal. Interestingly, this is the first time Sabbath is mentioned in the Bible before they even get to Sinai. In other words, this divine grace of a rhythm of rest and worship preceded the giving of the law. So God here provides bread and weekly rest. And finally, God also provides a way to remember God's care for them in the wilderness. He commands them to remember with a testimonial of this gracious gift. Aaron puts a jar of manna aside, later to be placed with the tablets of the law that will be given at Sinai, to preserve this memory, to remind God's beloved children of daily provision for their needs. And the Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they reached the land of Canaan. God provided daily bread and weekly rest, and God remained with them. As we hear this story, we may wonder whether they continued to trust in God's provision. And actually, if we know anything more about the Israelites, we know there's trouble still ahead. Just like in our lives, right? Often we do trust and rest in God's grace and provision. Yet economic hardship and health issues and the pressing needs all around us may cause us to wonder whether and how God will provide. We also may be inclined to hoard our resources. I'd like to share a personal anecdote that's very recent. The week before Thanksgiving, that's just last week, feels like a long time ago already, it was a little overwhelming for me. There was so much to do. I had written part of my Thanksgiving message, and then other things kept piling up. Worship planning for Thanksgiving and Advent, multiple church meetings, visits and phone calls, a delightful three-year-old's birthday party, and then my mom went into the hospital. She's getting better. The next day, a church friend helped with some of the Advent details, and staff pitched in. And I was also trying to plan ahead for this sermon on manna, and I remembered studying about manna before, so while I was digging for that info, I somehow came across notes for Colossians 1, just what I needed to complete my Thanksgiving message. When I was telling my daughter about that pleasant surprise, she said, "That's what manna is." And she was right. Manna is the surprising provision of God. Not always what you're asking for, but probably what you need, whether food or other resources of time and people. Even in the midst of trouble, when God's people look with eyes of faith, we can find evidence of God's provision and presence. It won't be that pillar of cloud and fire, but it may be experienced in the encouraging hug or help from a friend, or a meal that comes from that food recovery program. Or we might read in the Bible that we should not be afraid, for God is with us. And we remember that we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Sometimes we even call God's word the bread of life. So God's word is provision. And then God provided a path to salvation when he sent his son, the word made flesh. This is what the Gospel of John says about Jesus coming. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The light was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That promise of provision had come to Mary, too, when she had been told that she would have a baby. And she responded with a song, a magnificent prophecy, which included these words: "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things." And Jesus would do exactly that: lift up the humble and feed the hungry. In some of his first miracles, Jesus provided food and drink. He turned water into wine at a wedding feast. When a crowd of 5,000 people got hungry after a long day of hearing the marvelous teaching of Jesus, he showed compassion to them. He gathered a few loaves and fish, which miraculously multiplied so that everyone had enough to eat. Jesus was known to eat and drink with all sorts of people, teaching us to enjoy God's daily provision of food and fellowship, and giving a foretaste of what is to come in the heavenly kingdom. And Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, because he knows we need to trust in God's provision for each day. The Heidelberg Catechism says that the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," means, "Do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor our gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and trust in you alone." God does know everything we need. Even before we ask, God responds to our need, though not always in the way we might expect. Just like the Israelites didn't expect manna, but God was gracious and compassionate, full of mercy. God keeps on teaching us to rely on his provision. Manna, daily bread, other help, as we need so much. And God teaches us to rely on Jesus. Shortly after feeding the hungry crowd, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread," Jesus said, "the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And whoever ate his body, the bread from heaven, would have eternal life. And he will raise them up at the last day." That's in John 6. This, friends, is the hope of Advent. When Christ comes again, we will be raised up, and we will feast with our Lord Jesus at the heavenly wedding banquet. So Jesus became known by breaking bread with his followers. On the last night before he was betrayed, he broke bread with his disciples and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." After Jesus rose again from the dead, he walked with companions to Emmaus and he explained the scriptures to them, showing how God's promises from Moses to the prophets pointed to the Messiah. And then Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. The Lord's Supper is another gift of God's provision. As we here regularly participate in this heavenly feast, we remember that Jesus offered his body, his very life, and then he rose again to bring us life, to lead all who believe in him to eternal life. So in conclusion today, here are the things we hold on to. God provided manna in the wilderness, bread from heaven for the people of Israel. God provided a day of rest, even in the desert. And God told them to preserve some of that manna as testimony, a reminder of his provision. And this story of manna points to other ways God provides. We cannot live by bread alone, and the word of God is trustworthy, and it promises the Messiah. God sent Jesus, the one and only Son of God, the Word made flesh. Jesus is the bread of life who brings life to the world, who established a new covenant in the Lord's Supper. And on this, our day of rest and worship, we get to celebrate that covenant with bread from heaven. By God's grace, all these gifts of provision offer daily food for our bodies and more. God provides spiritual nourishment for all who follow him. God nourishes us through the study of his word and prayer, through rest and worship and communion at the Lord's table, and through the Holy Spirit of God who remains with us in all of this. Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, daily provides what we need for this life and for the life to come. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, during this Advent season, we remember your wonderful stories that point the way to the coming of Christ. During Advent, we celebrate Christ's presence among us here and now, and we look forward to Christ's coming again. In the midst of all of these things, be near to us, God with us, Emmanuel, and feed us with the bread of life to strengthen us for our journey. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our song of response is an old and beloved hymn that we could hardly not sing today. Guide me, O my great Redeemer, which says, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. And it reminds us that the God who delivers us and leads us by his fiery light shines in the darkness. Let's rise in body or spirit to sing.